Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a monster college football Saturday, championship Saturday, as we're going to have ourselves a very interesting scenario tomorrow as the committee sorts through what happens today. The biggest game of all is ironically the one that has the least sizzle to it otherwise, Duke and Virginia. That's going to determine a lot. If Virginia handles their business and wins as a 4-point favorite in Charlotte, then it's a fairly simple exercise tomorrow filling out the 12 teams. There will still be disappointment and teeth gnashing, probably in Miami and certainly at BYU if they hold on to win today. But otherwise, it'll be pretty simple. Where it'll get nuts is if Duke wins. Then the committee might go into some serious gyrations. Welcome aboard. Sports Saturday, Steve Zabin here. Thank you for joining me today. Jaden Daniels back. Love it. Practiced full Thursday and fully on Friday. Dan Quinn said yesterday at his press conference he is a go for tomorrow against the Vikes. Commanders are 1.5-point favorites. Noah Brown is back as well. Zach Hurts had a great game last Sunday night, except for the drop in the end zone, which you just were crestfallen for him because he's been so reliable, so good, and drops happen, even to the best of players and receivers out there. So full complement of guys, and it'll be fun to watch. Let's just hope that he's judicious about how and when and where he runs, because the more you run, the more risk you put on your plate. For years, I've battled people who say, well, you get hurt getting injured in the pocket. And then they list two or three guys that got hurt in the pocket. And I would have to try to say to these callers and co-hosts and colleagues, yeah, that's anecdotal. You're not looking at it from a whole probability standpoint, which is when you run, you take on additional risk. It's a calculation of here's how much risk I want to take on as a running quarterback, and here is where and why and how. Some guys are idiots. Jackson Dart is a very handsome, no, pretty, look at my hair as I fluff it up, idiot at quarterback who will not last long in this league. He got blasted on Monday night, just tearing down the sideline, refusing to get out of bounds, and instead trying to get two more yards. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? You've already had three concussions as a pro. You've been blown up repeatedly in college, both at Ole Miss and even back when you were at USC. And I went and I watched the Gruden quarterback camp, not quarterback camp, whatever Gruden calls that interview thing, series he does with quarterbacks prior to the draft, Gruden QB school. And he said point blank to Jackson Dart, hey, dummy, get out of bounds, slide. You can't do this. It's of no one's benefit if you're injured. All the offense, all of the plays, all of our intentions as a team go straight out the window. And Jackson Dart was like, yeah, man, well, just, you know, I always wanted to get +2. I wanted to be a +2 guy. And Gruden's like, +2, what's that? He said, well, you know, when I get first contact, I want to get two more yards. I'm just like, okay. All right, tough guy. Easy now. Daniels is not that guy. Daniels is way smarter, and I think he does, for the most part, run judiciously. But at times, you just cringe and go, oh. It's always a thing, you know, that football is a game that necessitates toughness. And so Daniels, like any quarterback, does not want to be seen as some kind of a dainty, as some kind of a hothouse flower. He wants to be able to put his nose down and take hits. And the guy that takes more than anybody is up in Buffalo, and he's built like a damn tank. And I've thought for years Josh Allen will finally at some day break, but then it doesn't seem like he does. Big boy. Big boy with big strong bones and ligaments, and so far, if you're a Bills fan, has not suffered the big one. So Daniels is back, and he will be, I'm sure, mindful of that dislocated left elbow. And let's hope it all goes well. And let's hope he plays well. And let's hope the team wins. Winning better than losing, always. And there's a lot of people out there that just want draft position. You're not going to move ahead of a couple of the real disaster dead teams. Vegas, Tennessee, New Orleans. Those are ghost ships right now. They have no crew on them. They're giant freighters on the open ocean, just drifting listlessly. You're not going to pass them going south in the standings. Not when you currently have three wins, because neither of them, none of those teams have three wins, and none of them are going to get to three wins, I don't think. Although, don't quote me on it, I think two of them play each other this weekend. Anyway, a point is, win the damn game. And we look forward to seeing it tomorrow. We'll have full pre- and post coverage right here on The Fan. The World Cup draw was yesterday in D.C. I can say this with great confidence. I am not equipped to talk World Cup intelligently for any amount of time. However, I am an enthusiast of the event. I love the scope, the spectacle, the personalities, the teams, the colors, the fans, the vuvuzelas. And I love the fact it's being hosted in our country. It's, well, three countries, technically, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. They've expanded the field again, which they have done a couple times over the years. It is now 40 teams. And just on a lark, and maybe because I felt like it was my duty as a paid sports radio professional, I went, how do they do the draw in the World Cup? And I went, oh my God, is that complicated? I started reading, and I started taking a note or two, and then I kept reading, and I kept scrolling, and I'm like, how long does this process go? And then I just gave up taking notes. Our boys have drawn Group D, along with Paraguay, Australia, and the winner of UEFA Playoff C, which is either Kosovo, Romania, Slovakia, or Turkey at the 2026 FIFA World Cup final draw held in Washington, D.C. Appearing in its 12th World Cup and second time as a host nation, the men's national team will open against Paraguay on June 12 in Los Angeles. The second group stage match will take place on June 19th in Seattle against Australia. And then the USA will finish out back in L.A. against the UEFA Playoff C winner. Full tournament schedule, which includes venues and kick times, will be confirmed by FIFA today. In fact, it was at noon. Don't ask me what they determined, but it's out there. Go USA. Glad we're hosting the event. If you're lucky enough to get tickets, they're probably going to cost a pretty penny. And if you really want to fall asleep fast tonight, take a little printout of the process to pick these teams and put them into pools. And is there a group of death this year? That's what I want to know. The group of death. I always love when they say, oh, look at these teams in here. World Cup coming this summer. We got Winter Olympics this winter. And then World Cup, going to be a big year in 2026, as we are almost done with 2025. Coming up, I had a chance to talk to one of the old school Vegas point spread players. His name is Bill Krakenberger, Crackman as they call him. about a wide variety of things when I was out in Vegas last month, including these prop shaving scandals that have rocked the NBA and will likely rock other leagues as well. We'll hear from the crack man next on Sports Saturday here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Got a text here on Sports Saturday from my friend Cliff Eby. He says, Zabe, when did football change from the 2-minute warning to the 2-minute timeout? Don't know. And why does every play-by-play guy now use, well, it's an X score game, meaning 2-score, 3-score game, when it's actually a possession, meaning it's a 2-possession, 3-possession game? Those are interesting questions. It's all phraseology these days, what it turns into. I know that the 2-minute warning was invented for television purposes. It's not that teams did not know how to read a clock in the stadium. They didn't need to be like, oh snap, there's only 2 minutes left in the half. I wasn't even paying attention. Now they know how to look up at the scoreboard and see the time left. It was invented so that television would for sure always have a commercial opportunity with 2 minutes left in the half and at the end of the game. And of course now it's become a huge strategic fence post that some coaches understand how to navigate around. Other coaches, not so much. Texas Tech has taken the lead on BYU. Tremendous touchdown throw and grab from Baron Morton of the Red Raiders to Coy Eakin. Eakin got down to the one, looked like he was out of bounds. But then on replay, the call was overturned. Touchdown! Texas Tech guns up. 10-7 right now over the BYU Cougars as we approach the 4-minute mark of the second quarter. If you hadn't noticed, gambling is everywhere now, and references to it are all over the place. Duh. And so when I was in Vegas last month, where it used to be the only place you could really bet on sports, but now not so much, had a chance to sit down with my good friend Gil Alexander of VEASAN, and he brought along Bill Krakenberger, who you're seeing more and more of now, and he is the epitome of old-school Vegas sports gambling. I had the best 20-minute interview ever, and it probably could have gone on for 2 hours, but I pared it down to the best 13 minutes of our conversation that covered a lot of ground. Bill, thanks for coming by today.
Oh, I appreciate it, man.
Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Crackman with a K, professional sports bettor, advantage gambler. You have been in this town for how long?
23 years. Okay. I'm coming here about 35, something like that.
And where are you from originally?
Originally from North Jersey. Grew up in that Jersey Shore. My family's in the Bronx. We're from the Bronx. My mother's family, my father was a farmer, from literally a country guy, out on a farm in West Virginia and Ohio. He was in the Navy, stationed in Jersey, met my mom. And that boardwalk town, which kind of changed my life, formed me and changed my life. And that's where I first learned gambling things. I was I was working 9 years old in a pizza place with my mom. My dad, my uncle, my aunt. And they still have the pizza place on the boardwalk. It's been there 59 years now. There was gambling at nighttime on that boardwalk. When I say boardwalk,
gambling on what?
Everything. Everything. Listen,
what pigeon's gonna land on a park bench?
I know that's funny, but I swear there was things like that.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. And if you were sharp, you knew what to put on the park bench to get that pigeon.
It's
amazing he said that. I've never met this guy, and he said something like that. Yeah. There was those kind of things.
How about this? How do you feel about the NBA and MLB gambling scandals?
It's terrible. It's a black eye for all of us. It's a black eye on the industry, on business. I'm always one that always said, I don't want to hear about this three-letter word, fix, because that's what you'd hear. People never take credit for losing a game. They actually just say, oh, man, if that guy didn't do that, and if that fumble, and if that ref would have called, everything's fixed. So now they have real reason to believe that they were that it was fixed.
Is there a solution to these prop bets? Because I've kind of bandied this around. I don't know how you do it. And there are starting to limit the amounts in some of the prop bets.
I haven't seen that yet. Okay. I bet props for a living. So props is my number one form of living. I'm still allowed to bet the max bets here, max bets Westgate, max bets at MGM. I'm still allowed to bet the same exact amounts that I was allowed to bet a month ago. Now, what will that solve anyway? How's that going to accomplish anything by allowing people not to bet as much on prop bets? Here's why it's not going to change. The sportsbooks make a ton of money on it. Even if there's occasionally a fixer.
They love the prop
bets. The sportsbooks are making a ton of money.
Right, but the leagues hate it.
The books are full and everyone's screaming and yelling. They're all betting overs. I mean, yeah.
The leagues, Gil, would love to ban it if they could, right?
If they could. So the first pitch stuff, so the Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz one, which is the first pitch of an inning, that the books will agree to banning.
I agree.
Because their handle isn't big enough for it to matter.
Knowing what we know, do you guys believe that those guys are guilty? Just knowing what we know?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Absolutely.
We never talked about it. We said it at the same time.
Yes.
And
to Bill's point also about, I'm forgetting what the first thing was. But
just the prop bets and the way to limit it if you're the leagues to either ban them.
Yeah, I don't think there is a solution to it. I think that, the biggest thing about this is, because legalized sports books, right, and the whole legalized sports betting industry is busy patting themselves on the back, slapping themselves on the back and saying, oh my God, if it wasn't for legalized sports books,
we wouldn't have detected this.
But it's the legalization itself
that has created this
because when we bet offshore, we don't have these prop bet options.
Yeah. Well, there have been incidents over the years that have been notable where people are convinced that there had to be a fix that was in. Ronnie Harmon fumbling four times in the Rose Bowl when he hadn't fumbled all year.
Right.
That's one of the more infamous ones. I can list off a bunch of others. You probably believe, Bill, that over the years in sports history, there have been cases that you can't prove it, but almost certainly the fix was in.
Listen, I actually was on the other side of that fence for a while, and from the major portion of my life. But the Donahue scandal, probably Donahue when the NBA ref, that probably changed things for me. If they only knew the real amounts that were involved, I know there's specials on Netflix, specials here. Trust me, there's a lot more money that was made back then by either the actual ref himself, the team, the guy, the people that were the team of sports bettors, the syndicate, maybe even major sports book owners.
So you're saying
that's been going on for a while. That makes this look like nothing.
How do you guys feel about the rise of what I call pretty girls with point spreads? Television likes the pretty girls, right, Gil? Yes. With the point spreads. And I'm not saying they don't work hard or whatever, but I just know guys like you know way more about actual gambling than the people they put on TV.
Well, but the people that's feeding them the stuff sometimes is pretty good, believe it or not.
All right.
And, you know, I did a show on Showtime called Action with Kelly in Vegas.
Yeah.
She was one
Kelly's
of the first.
Great. She was one of the first
voices that I ever knew that actually knew, enamored in the sports betting in Kansas State. I mean, she knew her sports. You know, now she's not on there, out there, you know, doing picks and on the shows. I worked with Aaron Dolan for years. Aaron and I worked for, I was a spokesman for a company back in Jersey.
Oh, really?
And Aaron and I did videos together for years. Now she's a big star on ESPN. Yeah. And, I know there's other people that do props and stuff. You know, I can't say anything bad about the girls. You want to know why? The guys are just as bad. Yeah, the guys are just as bad.
And they look ugly.
You listen to some of these guys. You listen to some of these people that are out there.
Oh, yeah.
They put people in homeless shelters listening to them. They're terrible. Murderers Row. Then you got, you know, your TikTok stars, your Instagram stars. You want me to compare? I'll take the girls over 90% of them.
Okay.
These kids with their fancy cars and their, you know, the broads on each shoulder and, showing their tickets and cash and, you know.
Dare I throw one name out just to see as chum of the water? Stu Feiner.
I got to be blunt. My answer was going to be, I usually don't talk bad about anyone, so I'm not going to do it. You actually hit one of the names that I probably will.
Okay.
I don't mean to. I usually don't do that. But Stu makes a lot of money with the Barstool. He's very entertaining. He's very funny. That's what you're buying. You're buying the entertainment and the fun.
Right.
But for years, he's yelling and screaming on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he doesn't win. He doesn't. That's not what. I don't even think he claims to win. I mean, if he does, that's really even funnier.
Right.
But, but people get entertained by someone. There's an entertainment value on it. I guess that's why they're over there with him. But, I mean, he doesn't win picks. He never won. He lied. He lied about records and I've done lately. I mean, that's.
Giving up both sides.
They all did that. I don't know if he gave up both sides, but they all did that back then. There was only one or two major guys that were on. They had networks on. You got to remember now, like Stu Feiner, if social media was out and the internet was out when Stu Feiner was making his name in the tout industry in the early 90s, late 80s, or even 80s, he would have been laughed out of the business. He would have no followers.
Right.
He would have been exposed to simply.
Quickly, will AI someday crack the NFL code?
I say no.
And make gambling on the NFL actually hard to do because nobody wants to give lines.
I'm an old school guy though, so I go by old school. I still think you need that feel. You know, analytics was a big thing in the NFL. Every team hired 3, 4, 5 people. Some of the teams did away with the whole program.
Right.
So there has to be that blood and guts feel. You have to have certain things that AI can't tell you. The weather. You have to have an injury involved. There's other moving parts in the game that you need that AI can't help you with. Now I'm not saying that analytics doesn't help you with certain things, or AI, maybe going for 2 now, down 14, get a touchdown, go for 2. I'm not saying people that they never thought about certain things. You know, our buddy Fez says every team should have a professional gambler on the sidelines with the coach. Coach, just go for this here. I'll tell you why later. You're supposed to go for this.
That'll be good for game management, yeah.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
What's your opinion, Gil?
I'm with you. I don't think it will matter.
Okay. No. All right. Where have all the good sports books, aside from this beautiful place, gone in town?
They've been gobbled up. When I first came here, like I told you, just to give you an example of downtown where we are here. There used to be 3 sports books down here. Cal Neva, Leroy's, there was another one. There was 3 different companies downtown here. They all got gobbled up by one big company. They're gone now. So you had, within walking distance, if you were a runner, someone that would bet for someone else, or someone that's just an astute gambler, wants some different lines, you can go, start right here, this part, Union Plaza is right next to us, the plaza, and you can go down to the El Cortez, and you'd have 6 or 7 unique, different lines. Now you have 2. I mean, it's that bad.
Have we settled at the bottom, or could it get worse? Will there be a resurgence? Maybe
there's not going to be a resurgence of sports books. There's no money to be made, they say in it. So they
other
say
than
just here,
slot machines, which are reliable, cha-ching, cha-ching,
yeah.
Cha-ching.
Derek's a visionary here.
Yeah.
You look outside there. Look at that unbelievable sports. Look at those screens. He invested tens of millions of dollars here.
I know.
Thinking about just what's here. You have levels of gambling here, overlooking the screens, watching the games, betting the games. Look at all the
space. So why did he do it when no one else is doing it, when everyone else is going the other direction?
I think he realizes that there is some people that come in for this. What do they do? They're having a good time. They're drinking. By the way, it's a business now.
I know.
Go get a booth down there. It's $1,000.
We didn't get a booth. We couldn't afford a booth.
No, I'm just saying. It's a business now.
I know.
It's a fair business value
if you want to watch games.
But then here's what's happening. The wife comes in. The girlfriend comes in. She's going to play slots. All right, I'm going to watch the games. You go play slots. How about this? Buddies are in there drinking. They get a little loaded at the end of the night. They lost their money. Where are they going? Right to the tables. this is what you have to think about.
Yeah.
You know, more than just it's just a sports book and you can put slot machines in that space.
I'll just add this. Nevada has a good thing going on in their little ecosystem, but the world is passing them by with prediction markets.
Yes.
Really?
Prediction like markets are, yes, Kalshi. And there's going to be Poly Market coming. Ooh. And
That's wild. Okay. Yeah. If you were to erect a 50-foot statue of somebody, anybody here in Vegas that deserves it the most.
Great question.
What would be the 50-foot statue you see coming into the strip? Somebody who meant more to this city than anyone else.
You know, you're not going to like the answer. People aren't going to like the answer home. They're not going to like it. Because I know he got canceled, Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn changed the face of the whole city. The Mirage, a visionary. You had old grind antique joints all over the place. Now, I'm not going to say he's guilty or not guilty. He could be guilty of what he did.
However,
if you want to, and they would never erect a statue of him, really.
I know.
But
modern Vegas.
He changed the town with the Mirage. And then, of course, the Bellagio and the beautiful Wynn. The Wynn still has his footsteps in it. You walk in the Wynn, it's like you're actually transported to such an upper class echelon place. It's like nowhere else in the United States. That's all I can tell you. I think Steve Wynn would have to be on there. People might not like me for that, but that's on them.
All right, last one. Has Vegas lost its way? And if so, what direction would you point it to get back on its path?
The customer service is gone. The hands-on touch is gone. You have it here. Derek Stevens. You want to come on the weekend? Derek's just sitting right there every weekend, right up top corner. He's got his bodyguard with him, but he's sitting there every weekend. He's the owner. When the games are over, he goes to the bar. Have a drink with me. He'll buy the whole bar. I mean, he'll buy, you know, you're not going
to
find
that. That's a throwback to a different era.
Jackie Gawn, and I can go on and on, like the old school guys. That doesn't go on anymore. There's nothing like that. I think they should do. They should take the customer, his ideas and his, you know, compliments and comments and actually against it too, just to learn what the customers feel, because there is brand loyalty up until there's not. So some people will come into your place, you get this, get that. There's a casino in town that I love. There's one I love, the South Point. I do. I love going in there. It's an old school a real gambling joint. I don't gamble there no more. Why? Now, I play at the sports book, but why don't I gamble in the casino no more? They just kept taking away from people. Kept taking away. Now it's double the money through a video poker machine to get points, and that's taken away. I asked for a comp at the comp desk, and you know what they told me? Yeah, you won $1,200 today. Can't get a comp today. That's not what they ever did. They never did that before. They told me, hey, you won. Oh, no, the day I asked for the comp, I'm sorry, I lost $1,200. They said, yeah, but you hit last month the $4,000 jackpot. In other words, we have to recoup that money first before we give you a comp back. Never, even if that's the policy, never tell a customer something like that.
You know what it takes to get a drink ticket at MGM now? $500, one drink ticket in bets.
And some don't even give you drink tickets. There's no drink tickets at most of the places in town. You don't even get them anymore. So, yeah.
Crackman.
Anytime.
What a pleasure.
Anytime.
Thank you.
There you go. Bill Krackenberger out there in Vegas. You can see him on Visa and other places at Bill Crackman with a K, K-R-A-C-K-M-A-N. We are 53 seconds left here in the first half. Texas Tech leading BYU. They're at midfield, scrambling, and down after a two-yard gain. Doesn't look like they're going to get in field goal position. Well, no, actually, they're not at the 50. They're at the 20. Excuse me. I mistook the All-State logo at the 25 to be the center field logo as they try to score a touchdown. Oh, did they get it? Okay. Any accounts or descriptions of this game without express written consent from the Big 12 is strictly prohibited, and I apologize for giving those accounts. Coming up, Saturday headline roundup, including Penn State has their guy. Will he be good enough, though? And why Darius Slay is not, at least for now, a guy on a buffalo. Steve Zabin sitting in here on The Fan on a Sports Saturday.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We are at the half down at Jerry World, Big 12 championship game. Texas Tech leading Joey McGuire and the Red Raiders 13-7 over BYU. The winner, the leader at halftime of the Big 12 championship game has won the last five straight. I don't know what that means in terms of a stat, but still, it's only a six-point lead right now. This is the first of four championship games. And if BYU does not win, that takes care of one potential complicating situation. If Alabama loses, that's another complicating situation. And then Indiana-Ohio State should just be a great game, but that's not going to affect who's on the in and on the out on the end of this thing. And then Duke-Virginia is the biggest game of all to see whether or not Virginia can handle business. Otherwise, we're going to have ourselves an interesting Sunday waiting for the selection show in the afternoon. I think that I can check the time on that. Okay. They call him Big Play Slay, but maybe they need to change his nickname to No Way Slay. One would think a guy who has won a Super Bowl, has been a Pro Bowler, who is approaching the end of his playing career, would jump at a chance to go to a contending team, to go to a organization that's got a great quarterback in Buffalo. You would think, right? But Darius Slay, a.k.a. Big Play Slay, is currently saying no way, Slay, to joining the Buffalo Bills. He was claimed off of waivers, and yet the six-time Pro Bowler and former All-Pro who led the league in interceptions in 2017 and was briefly with the Steelers this year before being waived has said, yeah, nah, I'm good. Slay went on the Emmanuel Acho podcast called Speakeasy, and he explained his thinking. quote, "I just got out of Pittsburgh. I don't feel like packing up and moving again. I'm like, bro, I'm 13 years in. I done did it." Now, if they'd call me at 28 or 29, I'd be like, okay, that's a top organization. They've got a lot of great things going. They're going into the playoffs. They got a franchise quarterback. It wasn't a bad fit. He said they just caught me at a bad time. I talked to them. It was like a little mutual talk, but I said, hey, I'm 34, man. I know you all be watching tape, but I'm trying to relax with my family and kids. I didn't feel like packing up and moving. Then on top of that, no offense to Buffalo, but it's cold as hell. I'm from the South, baby. We don't know what snow looks like. Now, look, he played outdoors in Philly and briefly in Pittsburgh. He played indoors in Detroit, but he lived outdoors, getting from his car to the facility and inside the stadium. So, yeah, he just doesn't want to play in the cold. And he's at that age where he's like, I've had enough. And you know what? Good for him. I have no problem with guys who make this decision. He may end up regretting it if he doesn't change his mind, or he may look back and go, you know, I could have actually played another couple of years. And life is long after a playing career is over. I've talked about this many a time with former Redskin players and other NFL players. Like, they say that they loved it, and by the time they retired, they were kind of relieved because it's such a toll on your body and it's such a grind. But then it wasn't long before they were retired that they're like, I do kind of miss it, you know? Nothing really replicates that life and that camaraderie and the bonding in the locker room and being with other athletic men pursuing a great goal to win a Super Bowl. It's nothing that, you know, all the rounds of golf, all the things you try to throw yourself into competitively doesn't quite compare. But hey, if Darius Slay's had enough, that's great. I don't begrudge that at all. It's the guys who blow all their money. That drives me bonkers. And the guys who blow all their money and then try to talk to us, the fans, as if we don't understand money, that is really galling. Not sure if you saw recently, but Odell Beckham Jr. was on Ryan Clark's podcast, and he said, hey, man, people see a $100 million contract like the one I signed. Well, you know, they don't realize it. You know, taxes and stuff, that's only $60 million. And he then says, well, you know, you spend it and you enjoy it. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily last a lifetime. And Ryan Clark is sitting there just nodding his head. And many of us who watched the clip said, are you going to tell him, bro? Are you going to tell Odell Beckham Jr., hey, dum-dum, $60 million is more than enough to last a lifetime, including if you spend some and enjoy some. Just don't get roped up in these bad investments. Keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer, and keep the financial advisors at a minimum, because you'll have people coming at you, pitching you on all kinds of crummy investment deals. We're heading towards hour three, a truncated hour of Sports Saturday. We're getting out of the way for Virginia Tech basketball against George Mason at 2:25. But in hour number three, if you're looking to buy somebody a nice bottle of bourbon, but are totally confused about what to get, what's good, what's overpriced, my man Fred Minnick will join us, and we'll talk about that in hour number three. But before we're done in hour number two, when even Terry McCauley is outright saying you blew it, you know you're in a bad spot. That's next. It's Sports Saturday on The Fan. Wizards hosting the Hawks tonight. After beating Milwaukee, they went back to their unfortunate losing ways. So tonight we'll see against Atlanta. The win against Milwaukee was both a surprise and an inflection of panic for Bucks fans, because that's when seemingly several screws came loose on what was holding Giannis Antetokounmpo still in Milwaukee. And rumors are now flying, and there is a lot of stuff going back and forth. You got the LeBron whisperer, Brian Windhorst, one day saying that, oh, Giannis has already asked for a trade. And then the very next day going on ESPN saying, no, he has not asked for a trade. Well, which one is it? This would be a massive piece that could be moved somewhere. The Bucks are not going to get back in return nearly what would be commensurate value for a mega superstar, arguably the best player in the league at this stage of his career, but they're going to try if it comes to that. Sure would be nice if we could get him here, but that's not in the cards. I know this, it may not matter this year at all, no matter where he goes, because Oklahoma City just rolled to 22-1 last night, and the Sam Presti Death Star continues to get stronger. The Thunder could have, depending on how things break, two first-round picks in the top 10 on this team that is 22-1, absolutely rolling, and the defending NBA champions. It truly is an incredible situation where if they were to add two more top 10 players, I don't know where you'd find them minutes. I don't know how you'd develop them. They're an overloaded team right now with options, obviously, to perhaps trade for future number ones that will sit in their bank account and just ripen until the day in which maybe they lose a guy or two to free agency and they say, well, we need to go pluck another one from a lottery, a non-lottery protected pick. Other Sports Saturday headlines includes Penn State hiring Iowa State coach Matt Campbell. This comes after Penn State got slaughtered in the early signing period in which their recruiting class basically did not register at all on any of the ranking boards, was in the 180s, if not lower. A totally disastrous search that put a lot of money in a lot of other coaches' pockets and on contract extensions because they were being called by Penn State to go, hey, do you think, what? Oh, you just got a new deal? Damn it. Click. Hang up. Happened to like four or five guys around the country. I believe, not knowing anything about Matt Campbell other than his, I would say, unimpressive results to date at Iowa State, he could be a great coach, and if they provide him with the necessary money and the structure and the scouting and the NIL department, he could be great. I believe the model of college football coaching is changing and changing quickly, where the schools that pursue the big names like LSU and Lane Kiffin are going to be at real risk of realizing, no, the old coach of personality, the cult of the big coach, that doesn't work. You've got to buy the best players, manage the tightest salary cap, and be nimble and aggressive and support whatever coach you have. The coaching concepts in terms of X's and O's, most assistants know those. The advantage that used to be from the iconic coach that would dominate on the college football landscape, guys like Nick Saban, they could charm the parents in the recruiting visits. They knew how to keep guys motivated when they were on the bench or not even playing, which Saban did for many years. Saban would overbook the flight down at Alabama, where he'd be bumping guys that were given scholarships because, well, I got too many guys. Bad deal for the player, but it's a different world now. So we'll see if Matt Campbell can have some success at Happy Valley. Kyler Murray is not coming back this year. Final five games ruled out, according to the Arizona Cardinals. His final, and that means almost certainly he'll be somewhere else next year. Talk about a guy who just missed. Showed early flashes, enough that he was able to get that big contract from Arizona, and then ever since, it's been, nope, not happening. They say his ankle is not progressing. Really? It's an ankle that can't respond to treatment, huh? It's not even broken. Didn't have surgery, just a little bit wonky ankle. Ankles you can tape up even. You're telling me, really? Five more games? Can't? Yeah, no. They've shut him down for the rest of the year. His final play will be a butt fumble-esque shotgun snap right to his face. He was looking at one of his wide receivers. Bam! In the face! A fumble, a half-hearted attempt by him to recover it, turnover. Final play for Kyler Murray in the desert. The Bears will be without Rome Odunze. He's suffering a stress fracture in his foot and will not play against the Packers in the afternoon game tomorrow up at Lambeau Field. That game will be seen by 96% of the country, including our market. It just will not be seen in Arizona and L.A., the only other game going on in the late window. And then there's this. Terry McCauley is a pretty conservative on-air referee who, generally speaking, defers to the officials on the field. But I got to tell you, watching and listening to him clown Land Clark Sunday night in the Commanders-Broncos game was something else. Land Clark and his crew were a disaster. Called a motion penalty on McLaurin that was not. Called an intentional grounding against Mariota that was not. And McCauley was emphatic in saying that. And he also did it again last night in the Cowboys, or not last night, two nights ago in the Cowboys-Lions game. Yes, McCauley does double duty. When Terry McCauley, normally a ref apologist, is saying flat out, hey, you're blowing it, it's not a good week for officiating in the NFL. Coming up, hour number three, Sports Saturday, right here on The Fan. Steve Zabin with you. We'll keep an eye on Texas Tech BYU. We're back. Final hour for me today on Sports Saturday. I am Steve Zabin. Thank you for joining me. Hope you're having a good December 6, 2025. We got a little shot of snow on December 5th. We had a run of years back in the late aughts into the teens where every December 5th we'd get snow. It was wild. So it's nice to get a little early shot of snow before the holidays. We'll see if the entire winter is a snowy one or not. Some of you are bigger snow lovers than others. I don't mind the requisite amount. I don't need back-to-back blizzards like we had that one year. No, nobody wants that. But, you know, the right amount, I think, would be nice for this coming winter. So, keeping an eye on Texas Tech BYU, the first of four championship games today. 4 o'clock today will be the SEC championship game, Georgia-Alabama at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Georgia, a 1.5-point favorite in that one. And then 8 o'clock tonight, two games, so make sure to get that second TV dragged out if you don't have a room to watch multiple TVs, which you should at this point in life. 8 o'clock tonight, Fox will have Indiana, Ohio State, the Big Ten championship at Lucas Oil. And then ABC is going to have the Duke-Virginia game, 8 o'clock from Charlotte is where that's going to come from. All right, it's the holidays. You want to give a guy, friend, a colleague who is a man, man's man, something thoughtful, useful, universal, almost, unless he doesn't drink. And you decide, okay, bourbon. But you don't know squat about it. I had a chance to talk to my guy, Fred Minnick, a world-renowned bourbon taster, a judge, an industry consultant, and a guy with the most followed bourbon podcast in the country. All right, so Fred, the good news is we know what our subject gift recipient wants. We might have drawn this person in a little round-robin family draw. It's bourbon. Great. The bad news is, let's say you don't know anything about bourbon and you walk into an ABC store and you're instantly overwhelmed. Can you help us out?
Absolutely. And it always goes back to, like, how much do you love this person? Right. Is this someone you love dearly? Well, you ready to drop some coin? Or is this just someone like is a cousin and you're like, what?
They don't know. They don't know what's what. Right. Yeah. So here's the biggest question I get from a lot of people is, so what does a good bottle of bourbon typically cost? And I wish that was straightforward.
Yeah.
Tell us it's not so easy, but give us sort of the outer reaches of, yeah, nobody's really worth much more than X for a Christmas gift.
Well, the great news is prices are dropping, and this is a great time to be buying for someone. And I think the best bourbons on the market right now, you can get between $100 and $200. But if you got a budget of like $50, I'm going to send you to Larceny Barrel Proof. Right now, Larceny Barrel Proof C925, that batch is absolutely incredible. It's on my list probably for Whiskey of the Year. It's going to make that list. And, you know, if you've got someone who's an ultra whiskey geek, but you're tight on the budget, you cannot go wrong with Wild Turkey 101. even though that you're going to go in there and spend $25-$30 on that bottle, if they're a true whiskey geek, they're going to appreciate that, and they'll always find time for 101. It'll always end up in their glass at some
Wild
point.
Turkey, like, that is an iconic brand. That's been around forever. That sounds like a cliche of, yeah, your old man used to love to drink the Wild Turkey. It's good, though, you say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the thing is that their stocks are getting a little older in the releases, so today's Wild Turkey actually, in my opinion, tastes better than it did 5 years ago.
Very nice.
Wild Turkey is a great purchase for someone for like $25-$30.
Okay, so that $25-$30, that's like nothing. I bet you some people might say, well, if I'm going to give somebody a bottle of bourbon and it's only $30, I'm kind of cheaping out on them.
You're saying,
A, that's not true, but B, what is something in the more $50, $60, $70 range? Because a lot of times people say, well, I just want to know I've spent something on this person. They mean something to me. I want to spend it whether or not they'll know the difference.
Yeah. If this person has a sweet tooth, I'm going to send them to a Woodford Reserve Double Oak. It's finished in a secondary barrel. It's super sweet. It's got all these like dessert chocolatey notes. If the person likes spice, I'm going to send them to Rare Breed. So Rare Breed is basically the elevated big brother of Wild Turkey. So it stays in that wheelhouse for the bourbon geek, but it's got some nice spicy and nutmeg notes. And I mentioned Larceny Barrel Proof earlier. There's another one called Elijah Craig Barrel Proof that's from the same Heaven Hill distillery. That is phenomenal bourbon, and you cannot go wrong with Larceny Barrel Proof or Elijah Craig Barrel Proof. And those are all in that like $50, $60 range.
All right. So we got a good broad, we got a good plan of attack at this point. Another wild card question for you. Somebody I know somewhere is going to know just enough about bourbon to go, oh, I know what so-and-so really wants, and they're going to want that bourbon that you can't get, Blanton's.
Yeah.
What would you recommend if somebody says, I want to get so-and-so Blanton's, I know it's the bourbon, the hot bourbon, but it's hard to find?
I would recommend one of those like tongue scrapers so they could start working on their tongue to like figure out, you know, their taste buds a little better. But that's probably the most overrated bourbon in the entire world. It's just like people go gaga for it. It's got the little horsey to it. It's iconic feel for Kentucky. And you know what? Here in every blue moon, it does taste good. But here's the thing. People are spending $200-$300 on these bottles, and it's really a $45 to $60 bottle of bourbon. If you can buy it for $50, hey, buy it. Absolutely. I'd recommend it for $50, but never spend more than $50, $60 for Blanton's.
Really? So you are not that much of a Blanton's fan when it comes to the actual taste and flavor and everything else. It's not bad.
Yes.
But it is overrated.
Yeah. And you know, look, if you were going into the store and you got a budget of $200 and you're thinking about Blanton's, I've got several bourbons I want to send you to. One is Barrel 12-Year-Old. It's a French oak finish. You can get that for about $150. Heaven Hill's got a 9-Year-Old, their 90th anniversary. Right now, you can get that between $125 and $200. And then here's one that's going to be crazy for a lot of listeners. Derek Trucks, the iconic guitarist for the Tedeschi Trucks band and was with the Allman Brothers. He's got a whiskey out right now that's rocking. It's absolutely incredible. It's called APW Whiskey. I can't tell you what it stands for because it would get beaten by the radio gods. But it's a 10-year Kentucky straight bourbon, and it's going for $109. And that whiskey's incredible. So those are three things that I would replace if somebody was really wanting Blanton's.
All right, true or false? Bourbon from far-flung parts of the world, like, say, Japan, or not bourbon, it'd be whiskey, technically.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Is not quality whiskey. True or false?
Oh, completely false. There's a lot of great whiskey made in Japan, Scotland, Australia even. All over the world, there's great whiskey being made.
Okay. Any recommendations from, say, the Far East? Let's say you want to give somebody a bottle of Japanese whiskey, and there's a story behind it, and that way you can say, hey, this is from Japan, and here's what they do and how they do it.
Boy, that's a good one. I really like Yamazaki, and I like Hibiki, but Yamazaki, 18-year, you know, won several awards a few years ago, and it was really the whiskey that put Japanese whiskey on the modern map, and people started tasting it. You know, it's got a nice sherry finish to it, and everyone was like, "Dang, this is the best thing in the room. And that really opened people's eyes to Japanese whiskey. So I like to say, go to the one that brought it to the dance in Yamazaki.
All right, true or false? Texas may know football, but man, they don't know whiskey.
False. I think there's a lot of good Texas distillers. You got Garrison Brothers, Still Austin, Iron Root, Balcones in Waco, Texas. They're all different. And Still Austin is the only one that really has a flavor profile that matches Kentucky bourbon. But Garrison Brothers is basically, you know, they opened a lot of doors for smaller distillers. And I think Texas whiskey is actually pretty good in a lot of situations.
True or false, California, they may know wine, but they don't know whiskey or bourbon either.
Boy, that's a hard one for me because they do know it and there are some good distillers there, but their state does not respect them for what they do.
Really?
They're very restrictive in California. They've got a lot of water limitations. So you have a lot of really good distillers like Pacific Coast in the San Diego area and St. George in the San Francisco area that are not able to do at full capacity what I think they could do. Because, you know, they need water. I mean, the fires there kind of like made that evident. And so there's a lot of restrictions on distillers there.
So wait a minute. They restrict the distillers of whiskey in California, and it's because of water usage? Does whiskey take a lot of water?
Yeah. It absolutely takes a lot of water to make whiskey. And in fact, like we talked about Garrison Brothers in Texas, they'll actually collect rainwater and treat it and use that for making whiskey. So...
And what is that from? Is that from growing the grain to make for the
that's on the farming side, right? But once they get the grain, they have to like cook it, and so they'll put the grains in a mash tun, and they will cook it, and you know, of course, you got to add a lot of water for that, and then they add water before it goes into the barrel, and then they add water for before they bottle it. And then they also need water for like, you know, managing their boilers and, you know, general operational stuff.
Right. And then there's, of course, you know, your high profile sort of celebrity bottles of sorts. And I know that a lot of celebrities are getting into the whiskey and bourbon game. You told me that once upon a time, do they still sell the bourbon from who's the MMA guy in Ireland? I'm blanking right now.
Oh, Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor. Does Conor McGregor still have his whiskey? You told me at one point it's not good.
Yeah. No, it's not good at all. And he's still loosely affiliated with it, but he did sell it. And it's called Proper 12. And you know, I met his partners, and you know, we had this fun conversation about, I was like, you know, that guy can sell anything. And I was like, you know what? I believe that, but you know, his whiskey's not very good.
Okay.
But there's a lot of good celebrity whiskey out there, actually.
All right, let's get some names out there. I know that Charles Woodson, Hall of Famer, has gotten into the whiskey game.
Yeah, Charles Woodson has gotten in the game. You know, he's a really great winemaker as well. Metallica has a whiskey called Blacken that's pretty decent. Dierks Bentley has a brand out there called Road 94. It's from Green River Distillery, and it's really good. Terry Bradshaw's had some good releases. Ian Somerhalder, the actor from The Vampire Diaries, probably has the most consistent palate and ability to blend of all the celebrities out there. He's a very, very talented taster, and his releases are really kind of, if you are a bourbon fan, Brothers Bond would fit your palate because he's made it for people like you and me, even though that when he does signings, it's basically a bunch of 25 to 40 year old women, you know, want to take their bras off and throw it at them.
You know? Yeehaw on that front. Okay. When it comes to drinking your whiskey, true or false, if you decide to put it over ice, you're doing it wrong. True or false?
Well, it depends on the whiskey. But you know, some of them need ice and some of them don't. I mean, if you just bought this, you know, barrel 12-year-old finished in French oak that I told you about for $150 and you put it over ice, I'm going to say that's true. But if you get Jack Daniels or Jim Beam or Knob Creek and, you know, you're hanging with your boys going fishing or at a baseball game, put it over ice, yeah, more power to you. So it'd be false in that scenario.
All right. What if you were to dare mix it with, say, a little splash of ginger ale? Not a ton, but a splash. Are you doing
I'm actually
wrong?
A big fan of that.
You are?
I'm a big fan of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Big fan.
Once upon a time, you told me, Fred, that the way the industry looks at it is, however you want to drink your bourbon or your whiskey is fine by us. Because at the end of the day, it's about you enjoying the brown the way you want to enjoy it.
I've always looked at it like it's not my job to sell whiskey. It's my job to say, like, is it good or not? And I think that ginger ale is actually good with every bourbon. Like, it's to me, it is like the best, like, combo. And in fact, I would even say that ginger ale can help you find flaws in bad bourbon. So, yeah, really? I love ginger ale and bourbon. Yeah.
Okay. I got the killer idea, which is not only a bottle of bourbon, but just one of your many books about the brown. What would be the one book you would recommend, and where can people get your book that you would recommend about learning more about bourbon?
So I got a new book coming out, but it's not here till February. It's called Bottom Shelf. It's actually a memoir of how I got into bourbon and became a taster. But the one that I think will get people across the finish line and make them a good taster and help them find the good stuff is called Bourbon Curious, A Simple Tasting Guide for the Savvy Drinker. And it's basically a book that outlines all the details of bourbon, how it's made, who makes it, and what are the major brands, and my tasting notes to go along with it.
Nice. Fred Minnick, Minnick, Pride of Oklahoma City, where I've never been, but I talked the other day about the doomsday machine that Sam Presti is building with the seemingly unstoppable concurrent champs and probably champs again, Oklahoma City Thunder. You got to love seeing it, huh?
It's pretty cool. I akin it to Green Bay. Like, I mean, Oklahoma City is obviously the smallest market for a basketball team, right? And they have the same pride that I experienced when I've been to Green Bay. I would say probably, you know, Green Bay has the rituals down. Oklahoma City's still figuring it out, but everyone there is a Thunder fan.
I love it. And you know what? I would have loved to talk collegiate wrestling with you, but look at the time, Fred. We're out of time today. You could only go on and on with me about college wrestling for what, 2-3 hours maybe, if you let me?
Oh yeah. I could go as long as a tournament, which is like 48 hours in some cases. So.
That's fantastic. And when is the championship again, in the spring?
It starts March 19th.
Love it.
In Cleveland, Ohio.
And I bet you'll be there.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I'll join you there. You can give me Wrestling 101. I'll be up to speed.
I'm actually calling duels now for ESPN. Happy to.
Look at you. Very nice. And you also do an ongoing podcast with the great Jared Allen of Vikings fame. Talk to me about that.
So Jared Allen and I started this podcast called Fourth and Neat, just because, like, I was kind of like feeling like I was kind of bored with the Fred Minnick show, where I sit down with celebrities and drink with them. And, you know, and Jared was, you know, we were just talking one day, and I was like, hey, we should start a podcast, because we always talk about dumb stuff. And so half the show is conspiracy theories. We interviewed a guy who claims he time traveled, and we get into the dumbest stuff. And it's just us being idiots and bringing in friends that we have and making them, you know, let down their hair a little bit.
Fourth and Neat, and it's almost all non-bourbon stuff, but I bet you have a good, strong snifter of it to get you going.
A little bit here and there. Yeah, we'll talk bourbon. Jared's got a bourbon coming out, so, you know, he likes picking my brain here and there. So it's always fun.
All right. Fred, thank you for your time. Merry Christmas to you, and we'll talk again soon, all right?
Absolutely. Merry Christmas. Go Pokes.
Coming up, last look in at Texas Tech BYU before we're out of here, plus the good old days in college football and picking national champions was never really that good. It's Sports Saturday on The Fan. BYU proven to be a sticky out in the Big 12 championship game. They're 12.5-point underdogs, but it's currently a 6-point game, 13-7 right now as Texas Tech leads. We are 4 minutes and change left in the third. Welcome back. Final segment here on Sports Saturday. I am Steve Zabin. Thank you for having me with you today. You can always get more of me on my podcast, The Zabe Cast. You can follow me on Twitter at Zabe, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And I fill in periodically here on The Fan, and I am happy and thankful to do that. Metal Chris has done a great job today of running the board. And he's going to get his tree up and Christmas cards out today, allegedly. I'm getting the house lights up today, allegedly. Even though I know where I live, there's not a lot of people seeing the lights. But I see the lights, and I need the lights. So we're going to get after that today and then get inside, warm up, and watch some of these college football games. So the good old days, remember them? Somebody tweeted how 1989, the Hurricanes beat Notre Dame, number one ranked at the time. That was the Catholics versus Convicts game. And then they went on to win the national championship because even though Notre Dame beat Colorado in the Orange Bowl, Miami beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, and so head-to-head mattered. But then somebody pointed out, yeah, but 4 years later, 11-1 Florida State was voted champions over 11-1 Notre Dame, even though the Irish beat Florida State in November. So the good old days weren't as good as we thought they once were. That's the nostalgia talking, I think, for a lot of us who imagine the past being more clean and perfect and wonderful than it is now. There will be disappointed fan bases for sure come tomorrow afternoon when they announce the Final 12. But I don't think they're leaving anybody out of the playoff that any reasonable person would say, how can you leave them out? They could win the whole thing. We know who has a chance to win the whole thing, and they're all going to be in the Final 12 when it's all said and done. Okay, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me and listening. Have a great Saturday, and we will see you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.